All right, let's get our Bibles and open to the book of Philippians. Tonight we're going to continue our Philippians study and continue to enjoy together this passage about the cross work of Jesus Christ and what it means to those of us who are saved as to the outworking of our salvation and the practical application of our salvation as we seek to live day after day in a way that brings honor and glory to and pleases our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, in this portion of Scripture, Philippians chapter 2, I've been trying my best, excuse me, I've been trying my best to exposit for you the wonders of the death of Jesus Christ in this passage. Not his death to pay for our sins, but his death that is set forth as an example of how we are to live in relation one to another. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1, just going over this again, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Okay, that is that all of us have a particular mindset. Okay, what is that mindset he wants us to have? Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Okay, so there it is again, that mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife. That would be wrong thinking. Or vainglory. Wrong thinking. Okay, the first wrong thinking is in regards to others. The second wrong thinking in regard to self. But in lowliness of mind, there's that mind again, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind. Okay, so we have verse 2. One mind, verse 3, lowliness of mind, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, the mind of Christ. Okay, and look at the mindset, the way of thinking that governed the actions of the Lord Jesus Christ then. The Bible says in verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it, okay, thought it. See, that's the thought life. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So that entire portion of Scripture tells us that the mind that was in Christ Jesus was a mind that denied self-interest, self-love, self-glory for the benefit of others. And that is the one mind, the one way of thinking that God desires should govern every saved individual so that we might know the fullness of joy in our Christian life. Now, that has been our discussion. That's what we've been talking about for many, many days. We have moved from the idea to the obvious question that people ask. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad people. It's just natural. The obvious question people ask is, well, what do I get out of that? What is the benefit? What's the reward? What's the return on my investment? And again, Jesus Christ, he's the example. Verse number 9. Wherefore, okay, because he humbled himself and put others first, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So what we see here is that there is eternal, everlasting benefit to the Lord Jesus as a result of him humbling himself for the benefit and the well-being of others. God the Father highly exalted him. And we've discussed how every knee will bow before him. Every knee is going to bow before him. Tonight, we're going to discuss how every tongue will confess him as Lord. Okay, this is the fruit. This is the result of his self-denial, his humility in the sight of God. And so you cannot say, well, you know, what's the use? I don't see where it does any good. What's in it for me? And things like that. There is everlasting, wonderful benefit resulting from this act of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's an amazing thing how that God, who could command us to obey him just because he's God, and then having obeyed him, he could take that act of reverence, that act of service, that act of worship, and just say, in all honesty, well, you've done nothing more than what you should have done. I don't owe you anything. And the fact of the matter is, God doesn't owe us anything, will never owe us anything. And yet, all through the scripture, we see God rewarding people for serving him, God blessing people for serving him. Now, you think about the deities of the pagans. The pagans, they worship their deities in hopes that either they will not be destroyed by the angry deity, or that maybe perhaps they will be rewarded if they do sacrifice to and serve the deity. But in the Bible, in the Word of God, we have the absolute promise, the clear, undeniable statement that God will bless the least of our service every time, without fail, with the greatest of rewards. And that's an amazing thing. I am given hope. I am given confidence. I am given sure reason to serve God, knowing that the Bible says to the righteous, good shall be repaid. And what a blessing that is. So now here's what I want to talk about tonight. The fact that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Point number one, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Okay, there is no other Lord. There is none other that sits enthroned at the right hand of God the Father that is the absolute ruler of all creation. Jesus Christ said in John 13, verse 13, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Jesus Christ is the I am. Jesus Christ is the Lord. When he returns, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 19 that he's wearing a banner, and that banner identifies him as King of Kings. Now, there may be other kings, but Jesus is king over them and Lord of lords. There may be other lords, but he is Lord over all. And hey, that's perfectly fine with everyone who has this mind in them, that they esteem other better than themselves. You know, that applies to Jesus Christ as well. Why would you be offended that he is Lord? Why would you be bothered that he gets all the praise and all the glory? Only if you're proud, if you're vain, if you're conceited. Okay, but it's all right with me. It's all right with me that every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, secondly, we want to consider this. Not only is Jesus Christ the Lord, but it's important that we see that Jesus, that's not enough. Okay, Christ, that's not enough. Lord is not enough. He is the complete revelation here. Jesus, that's the name of the man Jesus. He came into the manger, a baby was born. The angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He did not bear that name in eternity past. Okay, he did not bear that name from Genesis to Malachi. That's the name that he took when he came as man to earth. And then what about Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the fulfiller of all the promises, the one to whom all the prophecies pointed to? All the types and shadows were indicating his person and his coming. Okay, so he's Jesus, the man, he's Christ, the Messiah. But hey, he's the Lord, not one prophet among many, not a great teacher among several, not the founder of one of the world's great religions. Oh, no, he is the Lord. And the Bible says of this one who is the Lord, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There will not be in heaven a Muslim section, a Protestant section, a Buddhist section, a Catholic section. You won't have a Mohammedan on one street confessing that Muhammad is Lord. You won't have a Roman Catholic on another street confessing that Mary is half Lord or three quarters or part Lord. You will not have the Protestant on another street confessing their denomination as Lord and so forth. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord with one voice and with one mind and with one heart. All the saved in heaven will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All the lost, just before they are banished to that lake of fire and brimstone, which burneth forever and ever, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, outer darkness with a torment is so real you can feel it, sense it, experience it in every way possible to experience anything. Those who never believed in, never trusted in, never depended upon the Lord Jesus Christ will confess their terrible mistake of refusing to own him as Lord while there was time to be saved. But now in eternity, they will do so. They'll confess it. Let's look at some other scriptures here. The Bible says in Psalm 29, verse number 1, Psalm 29, verse 1, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. See, if every tongue confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord, they would just be giving him his due. Now, if anybody, on the other hand, if anybody confessed that I was Lord, that would be robbery. If anyone testified of my glory, that would just be dumb, wouldn't it? It'd be folly. I'd be taken to myself that to which I am not entitled. I would be receiving unto myself something for which I am not qualified. But if every tongue, every land, every voice of every individual gave honor and glory to Jesus Christ by confessing that he is Lord, well, the Bible says here that would just be his due. He would be entitled to that. It would be perfectly correct, perfectly right for all men to acknowledge him as the supreme ruler and deity forever and ever. All right, another place, Psalm 33. Psalm 33, the Bible says in verse 21, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. See, the theme of this book of Philippians, remember, it's rejoicing. And the fellowship, the worship of all revolves around the name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess. Now, there's those who will bow their knees and confess that he is Lord when they hear the name of Jesus, but for them, there will be no rejoicing because they never trusted in his holy name. Okay, so sir, are you saved? Ma'am, are you saved? If you're saved because you trusted in his holy name, the result of trusting in his holy name is that for all of eternity, you will not only bow your knees, you will not only confess that Jesus is Lord, but your heart will rejoice in that. There will be no dread, no fear, no, why didn't I do this when I could have been saved? No torment in hell fire. You will confess Jesus Christ as you have done since the day you trusted him. And you will rejoice in Jesus Christ as you have done since the day he saved your soul. And so your confession now, your trust in Jesus now, ensures your rejoicing, not just for time, but for all eternity. And then Psalm number 34, verse number 3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt," here it is, "exalt his name together." Why is every tongue confessing to the name of Jesus? Why is everyone confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord? That he might be magnified, that he might be exalted. See, down here on this earth, movie stars, ball players, singers, entertainers, politicians, military men, whoever it might be, there's literally thousands of names exalted by mortal man. There are countless names magnified, persons glorified by mortal man. But because Jesus Christ went to that cross and died to pay for the sins of the world, because Jesus Christ triumphantly rose from the dead, everyone ought to be magnifying and praising his name. What he did is superior to what anyone else ever did. What he accomplished is superior to what anybody else ever accomplished. The benefit derived by all of us, from the work of Jesus Christ is superior to the benefit derived by anyone or from what anybody else has ever done. So everybody ought to be confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody ought to be magnifying his name, but fallen man is just so silly. Fallen man is so foolish. Fallen man is so perverse that they compete with one another, so that their name might be magnified and their name might be glorified. And they live and die in their sin, adoring other sinners. And it's a big tragedy. But hey, out there in eternity, out there where God dwells, out there where the saints of all ages assemble, all of that foolishness of adoring man and all of that foolishness of magnifying man is going to be forever gone. And everyone will finally think clearly, properly, righteously, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. No competition, no striving for the mastery, verse 2, no vain glory bringing division, verse 3, no self-exaltation and pride, also verse 3, none of that stuff. Everyone is going to finally realize what they should have known all along. Everyone will finally testify to what they should have testified to all along, that the only name worth bragging about is the name of Jesus. that the only person worth exalting is Jesus Christ. In Psalm 86, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 9, Psalm 86, verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. What did Jesus accomplish by humbling himself and dying on the cross? He delivered my soul from the lowest hell. What did Jesus accomplish by rising from the dead? He made it possible for me to have a Savior. On the cross, he paid for all my sins. In his resurrection, he took away all my fears. And so forever, why would I magnify any other name? Why would I glorify any other person when Jesus Christ alone by himself saved me? And so again, I have no problem at all in confessing with my mouth and speaking with my tongue and saying that all the honor, all the glory, all the praise, all the worship forever go to the Lord Jesus Christ. How about you? It doesn't bother me at all to bow my knees before him because he's worthy. He is deserving of such worship and adoration. And the Bible says this is to the glory of God the Father. Oh, think about that. What a plan God the Father devised. This is his plan. What a way of salvation he made possible. What love is his in making a way of redemption so that fallen man could be restored? And now finally, the Bible says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Ladies, gentlemen, listen. The Bible says it in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess, well, hey, you will one day. So shouldn't you do it today? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, you don't confess that you have been saved, past tense. You confess in order to get saved, to get to saved, okay? Confession made unto salvation. Okay, so I hope you're listening. Listen carefully. According to the word of God, you will confess that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only Savior, God Almighty. You will confess these truths one day. If you die trusting in, glorifying anyone other than Jesus Christ, and that includes yourself, you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord just before God the Father sends you to a lake of fire. Not for smoking, drinking, cussing, chewing, lying, stealing, cheating, not for any sin, but for your refusal to trust, glorify, and magnify his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If while you are living and breathing in this mortal body, You will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You will trust him as your Savior. The Bible says you will be saved right now. And that salvation will that salvation you obtain will carry into eternity. And you can stand forever in the company of those who delight to worship, praise, magnify, glorify, exalt, and worship the person of the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So I urge you, I plead with you to confess Jesus Christ today. Trust him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and let him save your soul. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us such a wonderful Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only who died for our sins, shed his blood that we might be saved, and was resurrected, give us that hope of our resurrection. But Lord, we're so grateful that he has given us an example to live by, and the fact that we are to humble ourselves the way he did. And there's certainly no shame in that, and that there are rewards to follow and rejoicing to be had for those who follow his example and are glad to bend the knee and profess that he is our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.